Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, this is Rohan. I just want to address some news you guys may have seen on Twitter already. But Michael Pina, the beloved host of Open Floor, is unfortunately no longer the host. He is leaving Sports Illustrated. Mike has been co-hosting this show since 2019 and has done such a fantastic job. I know for myself, it was incredibly, incredibly fun hosting the show with Mike. We really had a great time doing this show. I was really excited, like a lot of you, for Mike to return from paternity leave so we could chop it up again, so you could hear him and Chris chop it up as well. But we wish Mike nothing but the best for his new role, his new job at The Ringer. We know he's going to go out there and crush it. In the meantime, we're still going to bring you guys a show that you love listening to every week. We hope Mike can still make an appearance sometime down the line. Until then, Mike, good luck. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything that you brought to this show. We'll miss you, buddy. Welcome back to another episode of Open Floor. I'm your host, Rohan Nadkarni, joined today by former staff writer. You know his work at Grantland Sports Illustrated. He's currently the host of two great podcasts. Greatest of all, Talk the Goat podcast with Ben Golliver, which I'm sure you guys are very familiar with, as well as Sharp Tech, a new podcast with Stratechery. I never really know how to pronounce that word. I've never had to say it out loud before. He's the Prince of U Street.
You nailed it.
He took the walk to Poland. It's Andrew Sharp. Sharp, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, man. Ro, it's great to see you. It's great to be back with the Open Floor Globe. Yes, I am hosting the GOAT, and we're getting ready for the season, which somehow starts in 6 days. So that's pretty crazy. People should subscribe to the GOAT. And I am. A whole new world of tech journalism, Sharp Tech. I'm hosting that with Ben Thompson, who writes Stratechery. And for anyone who doesn't know his work, Ben is probably the best tech journalist anywhere right now. So we're having fun. He's the expert, and I'm the normie tech consumer who asks questions on behalf of regular people who use technology and can sense that all of this is changing the world, but don't understand some of the particulars.
I really enjoyed the podcast. I think you had one, like, it was how likely is an actual Terminator scenario? And I just watched Terminators 1 and 2 a couple weeks ago. It's right up my alley. Again, I think the Open Floor Globe, you probably are familiar with Ben Thompson, who tweets a lot about the Bucks from his non-tech account, No Tech Ben. So, yes, please check out Andrew on those podcasts. Sharp, I'm really excited to have you on this show today. We're bringing back something that He Who Shall Not Be Named and I did together last year. It's our top 10 duos heading into the season list. I just texted you. Just write down your 10 best duos. I tried to keep the criteria incredibly vague. how are you feeling about your list in general?
Well, I'm feeling good, although it's probably not a good sign for how thoroughly I approached this exercise that like 5 minutes before we came on to tape, I remembered that Tatum and Jaylen Brown exist and I had left them off my list entirely. But the criteria was ambiguous and that made it challenging. I tried to go for best duos and most successful duos, but also coolest duos. Mm. So I'm accounting for guys I like to watch, like to root for, and am excited to see in the upcoming season. Some of the duos out there are a little bit old hat to me. I sort of know how their story ends. And so they were docked a couple places on my list.
Very interesting. I feel like our honorable mentions are going to be just as exciting to talk about. In terms of who actually made the list. So, Sharp, I'm going to let you kick it off. Do you want to give me your... I hope you at least put it in order. I hope that was obvious.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no. I have a couple different categories of omissions and honorable mentions.
Interesting.
First of all, off my list entirely, Chris Paul and Devin Booker.
What?
I've had enough. I know how the Chris Paul story is going to go in the playoffs. We don't have to do the whole song and dance where we take the Suns seriously during the regular season. I'm all set on that front. So
the Suns are just yours out on the Suns entirely this year?
I'm not out on Devin Booker. I'm out on almost all of his teammates. I mean, wow. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Like the preseason alone, it's been so like deflating watching these guys and watching how openly miserable DeAndre Ayton is. It's just, they're off my list. Okay.
Wow. And okay.
Along the same lines, you know who else is off my list? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Ooh, okay.
I'm sorry. They have not been that successful on the court together. The Nets have actually been better when it's just Kevin Durant. And off the court, they showed up at media day. KD's answers about his trade demand were so rough, like across the board, and saying, oh, we need more accountability in this organization, after he refuses to take accountability for his public trade demand, his, you know, quasi-public demand that the Nets fired the coach and the GM. Like, all of it was just completely ridiculous. And then Kyrie is going off about the vaccine and everything. I saw that and I was like, you know, I think I'm all set on this whole Brooklyn experiment. I would like to see KD do well. And like aesthetically, I still love watching both of those guys, mm-hmm. but I have to penalize them for just how unbearable they've been.
What's the opposite of like a symbiotic relationship? Do you remember when you learn about that in science and it's like, mm-hmm. these two organisms join together to make things better? What's the opposite of that? That's them.
Dragging each other down, right?
Mutually assured destruction. That's Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Okay.
I think that's accurate. Okay, so those are my meanest cuts, because obviously both KD and Kyrie and CP3 and Booker have a claim to like top five status. Mm-hmm. The duo's watch list is another category. So
Franz Wagner.
Yes, Franz and Paolo down in Orlando. I'm keeping my eye on those guys. I think if we did this next year, certainly the next 2 or 3 years, they are going to have a spot in the top 10. It's going to be very fun to watch those guys play off each other. Jalen Green and Tari Eason in Houston. Tari Eason, loving what I'm seeing from him in the preseason.
There's always like one guy in the preseason that everyone gets so ridiculous about. I've seen Heat fans tweeting about how Nikola Jovic needs to be the backup five, and now it's Rockets fans. It's like Jabari Smith is right there, but it's like, no, it's Tari Eason. Okay.
Tari Eason looks like he's trying to tear the rim off the basket every time he dunks it. Love anybody who plays basketball that way. And Jalen Green, I think, could average like 30 a game in Houston. I can't even imagine how bad the Rockets are going to be on defense, but I'm excited about year two Jalen Green. And Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey in Detroit. Mm. I think Jaden Ivey's probably a year or two away from being fully weaponized and unleashed on the league, but Cade is ready now to go be like an all-star caliber guy.
I'm putting Cade and Marvin Bagley on my duo's watch list.
Wow.
I'm believing in Bagley. I had Marvin Bagley on like my 2K team. I think I've told this story before on the pod. It was before he was actually in the NBA, but I had one of those user created rookie classes and I was just killing it with Marvin Bagley. So I've been a big fan ever since. And then I told him that in person, we did like a pre-draft interview and I was like, by the way, you're killing it at center on my 2K team. And I could tell I could tell he loved it. So I'm still in on Bagley, dude.
Man, I respect the Bagley loyalty so much. Did you create the rookies or was it like generated by some nerd out there on the internet?
No, it was like, you know, Longhorns 828-88. It's great. Like he had the most upvoted draft class, so I downloaded his. Yeah,
that's fantastic. Well, I'm not giving up on Bagley, yeah. And I love that you're even more in than I am. I'm pretty excited to see what this Pistons season turns into. I think a lot of people on the internet are like, I don't know, maybe the Pistons are asleep.
I mean, so I'm gonna do the entertainment ranking stress eye, and I think the Pistons are gonna be high on my list, just out of the intrigue factor alone.
That's the thing. It's actually really exciting to see a group of guys that we don't know that much about and see like exactly how dominant Cade could be and some of the other guys up there, Jalen Duren. Like there are just a number of wild cards. So very excited about the Pistons. Right. The other omissions, Anthony Edwards, I could not.
Edwards and Towns was a tough one to leave off,
but after Towns
wrote that letter to his girlfriend, we think we were both out on him.
Oh my God! So yes, I'm out on Kat. I'm sorry. I've tried to like be diplomatic with Kat the last couple years and be like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely got a lot to prove, but maybe he can go do it. I'm out on Kat after the letter to his girlfriend where he was like, I'm going to help you fund two companies and turn you from a girl to a woman. Sorry.
Who has like two great business ideas, let alone one?
She's also independently successful and has plenty of money of her own. So I don't really understand what he's trying to go for there. Rudy Gobert, also a guy that I considered including in lieu of Kat alongside Anthony Edwards, but not sure I want to put that much faith in Rudy. And then my final two genuinely difficult omissions, DeJounte Murray and Trae Young.
That was a tough one.
De'Aaron Fox and Keegan Murray. I think Keegan Murray's going to have a big year. I think the Kings are going to have a big
ridiculous.
Year. Get on the bandwagon now.
You would have put Keegan over Sabonis already.
Yeah, I mean, Sabonis doesn't really move the needle for me, but I think Keegan Murray, if he builds on what he was doing over the summer in Vegas and what he's been doing in the preseason, and he's just like a above average starter for them right out of the gates, the Kings could actually do some things. And so I'm planting my flag early. Keegan Murray is good. And we'll see where this bandwagon goes. It doesn't generally end well when you hop on the Kings bandwagon in October, but maybe this year will be different.
So all I'll say is a couple of the people you left off are on my list. A couple of the people who you mentioned, I also left off. Towns and Edwards probably being a big one. I'll go with one more omission I had, and that's Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram did not make my list, and that was the toughest one probably for me. And then right behind them were DeJounte and Trey. I just need to see DeJounte and Trey first. I'm not convinced about their duo capabilities. Like, individually, they're both very talented. But together, I'm not sure. Also, the same problem last year is I almost put Luka plus any other Maverick, like pick a Mav, on my list. But I think that's cheating the game. The Mavs don't have a duo. They have Luka. And it's very successful for them. That's no shade, but Luka does not really have a number two.
The issue in Dallas is any number two that you choose is going to be so depressing that you can't put them in the top 10. It's like Luka and Christian Wood. Yeah. Luka and Tim Hardaway Jr. coming off another injury.
Luka and Kleber, though? Come on.
Look, I'm a Maxi Kleber guy. I've been a believer for many years.
I want to know why everyone can say Maxi Kleber's last name perfectly, but they struggle with mine my entire life. It's like every announcer nails the German accent. They're like, Kleber. And I'm like, what is happening?
Well, I think the lesson there is you need to link up with Luka and find a way to work your way into the Mavs rotation. And frankly, you have a better chance this year than at any point during Luka's young career. So get down to Dallas.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about who is not on the list. Sharp, give me your number 10 duo.
Okay, number 10, Nikola Jokic and Bruce Brown out there in Denver.
What?
Can I explain my logic?
You already overthought this, I can tell.
Dude, don't worry about it.
This is incredible. Okay,
I went outside the box.
Okay. Give me your Jokic Brown argument.
Here is my rationale. I don't want to jinx things with Jamal Murray. There are a lot of people out there who are like, I can't believe the Nuggets over under is 48. Like, they're definitely going to go out and be a 50-win team. Maybe they'll have the best record in the West. Like, get ready. The Nuggets are back at full strength. And I want to believe that all of that is true, but I just am wary anytime a player misses like a year and a half of basketball. And even early on, like the reports from Jamal Murray in the preseason have been sort of mixed. And so I'm proceeding with caution, but Jokic has to be on the list. And Jokic, he's incredible with Jamal Murray. And if Jamal Murray is 100% halfway through the season, then Jokic and Murray are in the top five duos for me because they both make each other better, and it's really great to watch them play off one another. But along those lines, I think Bruce Brown is a perfect running mate with Jokic. All those backdoor cuts and everything.
He's going to be setting screens. Yep.
Exactly. Like, watching those two together is going to be really, really entertaining this year. And as excited as I am about the potential of a healthy Jamal Murray, I'm equally excited about Bruce Brown off the bench in Denver, just wreaking havoc with Jokic as the quarterback out there.
I mean, I guess I'll describe it as an inspired choice for your number 10 duo. Everyone knows how I feel about the Joker. I mean, I've been calling Bruce Brown my favorite offseason signing of the summer.
A+.
I think that the Nuggets had my favorite in Bruce Brown and my least favorite in DeAndre Jordan. But Bruce Brown was...
I totally forgot they signed DeAndre Jordan.
So did their PA announcer, who called him DeAndre Ayton the other night.
Oh, wow. Rough.
Very rough. But I'm all the way in on Bruce Brown. I think Bruce Brown's going to end up closing more fourth quarters than Michael Porter Jr. Okay. I think the KCP, Bruce Brown, Gordon, Joker, Murray lineup is going to be huge for the Nuggets. I mean, I'm all in on Bruce Brown. That's exactly the kind of player they've needed. I think him and KCP are really going to change what they're doing defensively in a positive way. So it's an interesting pick, certainly, Andrew, but I respect it. I'm so excited to see where the list goes from here. My number 10 is a safe one, and I put them at, my hedge was putting them at 10, so I went with KD and Kyrie at number 10.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a good pick.
It's still Kevin Durant. You know, me putting them at 10 is accounting for all like the nonsense and BS that they're going to put us through during the entire season. We know Kyrie's going to miss 20 games. I mean, KD, it's outside from the Achilles now. It's also been one health issue and after another the last few years. So that's kind of my hedge on them, but I couldn't leave them off the list. And it's KD's carrying Kyrie here. I also want to be clear that some of these duos, like one guy is so good, kind of like Joker Brown, like one guy's so good that you can't leave him off. KD's so good. And with Kyrie, I just can't leave him off.
Yeah, and I probably would have given them sort of a legacy nod here if they hadn't mailed in that first round series quite as aggressively as they did last year. Like, Kyrie played amazing in game one and was straight up bad.
It was kind of like after they lost game one, he was like, oh, well, nevertheless. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. And then I don't know. I've never seen KD look that passive in like a big game situation. He wasn't attacking the rim. And I was like, is he hurt? Like, so maybe all of it was just like a nightmare season last year, and that's the best explanation for how lifeless they looked in the first round. I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Nets. I'm going to go in with an open mind, but I couldn't put them on my list for the duos here.
I mean, I'm kind of terrified of them. That I mean, there's that video. Have you seen the video going around of Simmons today shooting in the park?
Yeah,
that was rough. That was rough.
Can I ask you, would you feel better about the Nets if Ben Simmons just wasn't involved?
Fascinating. Fascinating question. I'd feel, if they had like a, you know, like an average 3-and-D guy, I guess, in his place, I'd still be high on them.
Yeah.
But there's like a, there's still like a potential mystery, what can they do here with Simmons that makes them intriguing? You know what I mean? Like if they can really unlock it. It's kind of like, oh, like this, it's like a hidden gem kind of situation.
Yeah. Well, and they really need his defense.
Yeah.
They're going to struggle to guard basically anybody outside of Simmons in that starting five.
Yeah. I mean, if they end up playing Harris, Simmons, Royce O'Neal, KD, and Kyrie together, that'll be an interesting five.
Yeah. Yeah. Simmons can be such a sideshow, though, mm-hmm. that I just feel like I would feel more confident about their ability to be a coherent basketball team if he were just not involved. You could flip him into like a slightly above average wing defender. I don't even need all defense, Ben Simmons or whatever. I can't believe Ben Simmons made all NBA a couple years ago.
I mean, what a ridiculous journey. Really good. He was ridiculous. Yeah, it's...
He was fine. Never been a Simmons guy. Been validated. Yeah, right side of history on that one. He was always good, but he was like 35th best player in the NBA.
I don't know that this is true because I'm pretty sure me, you, and Ben Golliver once had a massive argument in our group chat about true. How like Embiid was way better or something. Oh God, I don't remember the details.
I think you were team Embiid. You were team Embiid. Been, I was team these guys Asian are not going to play well together. Yeah. it's been a fun journey in Philadelphia. Yeah. We'll get to the Sixers on my list.
All right, so give me your number 9 duo.
All right, so this one might hit close to home for you. Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo.
Number 9. Okay, interesting.
Yes, and I considered swapping Adebayo with Max Strus because I really like Jimmy and Strus together.
The Strus is loose, yeah.
The Strus is loose, absolutely right. So my biggest issue and the reason they're not higher is I trust Jimmy with my life when the chips are down. Bam Adebayo in that Celtics series
was really all over the place.
I wasn't sure what I was getting night to night, and I was expecting him to take a step forward last year that didn't quite happen. He's very good. He's an all-star, but I'm not sure he's an all-NBA type player. It's fine. I don't even know whether he's actually made all NBA or not, but his offense leaves me cold. And I think when the Heat needed him to be great, like he did have a couple phenomenal games against the Celtics, but it just, the consistency wasn't quite there. And I couldn't figure out why, because I've been high on Bam for years now.
Well, obviously I think that's blasphemous. Jimmy and Bam will appear on my list a little bit higher. And
great.
I mean, I think the proof is in the success they've had on the court. They made the finals their first year together. You know, I'm kind of giving them a pass on the 21 season, which, you know, they had the very short turnaround. Jimmy has COVID in the middle of the year, whatever. And then last year, they're one shot away from making the finals. Bam is a huge game 7. I believe he is a huge 30-point game after people like you are talking about Bam can't play offense, going on their podcasts, you know, guys who've never played the game talking about what Bam can do. And he responded, you know, that game Jimmy missed the second half. Bam was huge that game.
Yeah.
So I think that his offense is up and down in part because, and I'm hoping to write about this soon, but I think the team is purposefully trying not to. I think that Spo has become masterful in like deflecting any questions about Bam offensively. Like, you know, he does like bits in press conferences now. Like he last year he like put on his glasses like very dramatically and like read a box score and he's like, oh, that's why you guys think Bam didn't have a great game. Like, which I think,
oh my god, it's such a Spo classic. Yeah. If you just look at the box score, you wouldn't really understand what we're all about.
They're trying to obfuscate it, but I think that they are. I think that that's. I wouldn't say it's by design that he doesn't score more, but I don't think they're also necessarily asking him all the time, hey, shoot more, do this. But I'm with you. I do think that if they're going to take the next step up as a duo, Bam does need to score more. And I think it just starts with shooting more. I think the real problem is he's not even passive, but he's not necessarily looking for a shot when he should be. He has such a athletic advantage over people. But we'll get to Jimmy and Bam on my list. But I personally think that's too low. I'm mad at you.
Okay.
And number 9 on my list is James Harden and Joel Embiid.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Why aren't they higher?
I mean, we just saw them lose to Jimmy and Bam in the playoffs. You know, I feel like every year it's a different reason why Harden's going to be MVP Harden again. And it's possible he does look to be in great shape. Maybe the hamstring is healthy, but I agree that most of them have been fluky. But Embiid does have an injury history, whether you like want to believe it or not. And Harden is probably, honestly, out of everyone on this list, the shakiest playoff performer, maybe outside of Kyrie.
Mm.
And, I mean, you would have liked to have seen a little bit more from Harden last year when Embiid was out. Not even that I expected the Sixers to win those games, but, I mean, Harden was just another guy on the floor. So, yeah, I think there's potential for them to be great, but we saw a good chunk of it, and we haven't really seen that brilliance yet.
I think that's fair across the board. A lot of fluky injuries for Embiid, and the people who point to all the different freak accidents as a reason to trust his health going forward. Like, I don't know, if you just have a long history of having fluky injuries, you are injury prone, even if it's not like a structural issue in one area of your body or another. And so it's a concern going forward. It's reasonable. I want to see him have one healthy playoff run before things are all said and done. Now, I still have faith in Embiid, and he's higher on my list, mainly because I'm sentimental, and I like Joel Embiid. James Harden, I am not sentimental. And this dude, I mean, what a fraudulent performance against the Heat last year. He had one game where he had 31, 9, and 7 in game 4, I believe. And everybody was like, this is the best playoff performance of James Harden's career. Like, people were falling all over themselves. This is the guy we've wanted to see. And he follows that up with 14 on 5 of 13 shooting and 11 points in the game 6.
I believe
six
he got
outscored
by Strus and Tucker in that game 6.
I didn't even know that he was on the floor in that game 6. I don't know how many shots he took after halftime. It could not have been more than like 2 or 3. And he's had so many of those moments that like I refuse to trust this dude when the chips are down. He's the exact opposite of the Jimmy Butler story. Mm-hmm. Harden is so skilled in so many different ways. And for the last 10 years, could have been either the best or second or third best player in the NBA. But he's got a ton of baggage when you get to the playoffs, and
yet
similar
you have
to
this
CP3.
Guy, and yet you have this guy over Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. I don't have this guy?
Oh, interesting. Yes, we will come back to the Sixers.
No. All right. So to recap, I got KD and Kyrie, Embiid and Harden. You have Joker and Brown rather, and Jimmy and Bam. Give me your number 8 duo.
All right, so this is the one I feel most guilty about. Steph Curry and Draymond Green are number 8.
Wow.
And this is a speculative pick. I think things are going to be weird with Draymond for most of the year. I think back to the finals. when Draymond just wasn't very good for long stretches of that series. And I worry that that's sort of a new reality that he's going to be inhabiting. He did come up huge like halfway through that series and sort of gather himself and respond in like a incredibly impressive way. Like that was a Hall of Fame performance from Draymond. Had there, if there were any doubt about where he ranks historically and whether he's a Hall of Famer, I think he answered it in the second half of that series. Like he punked the entire Celtics team, really. And so I'm not that down on Draymond. And honestly, if he hadn't been such a weirdo and punched Jordan Poole last week, they would definitely be in my top five. But now I'm just like not really sure what we're getting. And so Steph, it's not a full Luka where any potential like duo pair is depressing, but there's just not really like a worthy sidekick in Golden State for the purposes of this list.
It's very interesting. Steph and Dre are going to appear on my list in I think in a manner that's going to shock you.
Oh, wow.
But the punch is weird, man. The punch is weird. I don't know. I think if there's one team that's equipped to handle it, it's the Warriors. I think Kerr is the kind of person who can get them through it. They've obviously dealt with all kinds of crazy ups and downs over the last 8 years, including with Green himself. I mean, the thing is, we can talk about it. It's going to come down to how Jordan Poole feels about it, and we don't really know that answer. But if it was hard for me to, I think you're doing the right thing. There's a weird cloud over them. I just tried to imagine if that went away, where would I have them? And that's how I went ahead with my ranking. But I agree that it could be a tumultuous season. Who knows? And no, I hate to be the guy that's like on a podcast, like it could really go either way.
It's not, no, sometimes it's not that's interesting. A take.
But who knows, man? It's a what a strange situation that is. I mean, it's weird because it happens, but then you see all the other NBA players who are like shocked about it. And it's,
well, that's the thing that I find interesting. It's like it happens, and then there are the immediate reactions on Twitter where people are like, oh my God, this is so violent and unforgivable. Not sure I really agree with that. But then there are also the people who are like, everybody who's freaking out needs to just chill. It's sports. This happens. It's not a normal workplace. Like, this is just part of the deal sometimes. That isn't true either. Like, you had NBA players being like, no, I mean, I haven't seen this happen in my entire career. And, like, Draymond hasn't done that to anyone else in Golden State over the last 10 years.
He hasn't even done it to an opponent. Like,
exactly. Yeah. So it is a thing, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they resolve it. I mean, this is one of the greatest teams of all time that we're watching out there. So the next few steps are going to be pretty fascinating.
All right, well, my number eight, you left off your list entirely, and it's Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Mm. I don't want to dwell on them, but I believe in Chris Paul. I'm sorry. You talk about sentimental. I'm a Chris Paul believer, and I need him to get one. I need him to get one before it's all said and done. I really do. I love – people get annoyed with him, and I get it, but I personally love the competitiveness.
Okay, so get one what at this point? Like a playoff series victory or...
Listen, I think we all agree that if the Mavs and Suns played that game 100 times, the Suns are winning like 90 of them.
I don't know if I do agree with that. I would have agreed with that if the Suns could have kept it within 25 throughout
in the
most
first
of
half.
Game 7.
That was that game like 3 minutes in, I was there. I'm not joking. Everyone was like, oh, it's over. Like, Luka hit a pull-up three, and everyone was like, this is done.
I just don't understand what happened to the psyche of that team. I mean, there are rumors that, like, half the team had COVID, and maybe that was part of it. I just don't know exactly, and it's one of the craziest basketball things I've ever seen.
Anytime your team loses so badly that there's, like, a rumor that maybe half of them had a deadly illness, it's a,
totally.
It's not ideal. It's like, maybe, maybe they half of them were dying? It was the most shocking NBA game I'd ever seen in person, for sure.
It's that, and then sometimes a season will go so far off the rails that fans will be like, did somebody sleep with someone else's wife? Like, what happened here? That was a Pacers special about 10 years ago. So, yeah, it was a dark situation last year with Phoenix, and I just am getting such horrible vibes. Like, Devin Booker opening the preseason by tweeting out or by Instagramming the video of LeBron. Clip. Oh, man.
And when you're going, like, using that bullet in the preseason is right. So rough. It's so
not
rough.
A good sign. Everybody go back to your sad lives. Okay, man. I love Booker, though, and he has gotten better every year. And he fights on defense. I really admire what he's built out in Phoenix. So I want good things for him, but I just feel like this is going to be kind of a rough year out there.
I'm going to drop my number 17 too, only because it's a duo we already talked about, and that's Jimmy and Bam. And
okay.
I'm all in on Jimmy after his last playoff run. I thought he was masterful, and I think he's shown that he can be that guy in a playoff series. Like, if you switched Jimmy and Tatum, I think the Celtics still win that series.
Yeah. Wait. You think the Celtics win? Okay. Sorry. No, I understand what you're saying now. Yeah, they definitely win, and they probably win the title.
Yeah. So I just think that Jimmy can be the best player on a championship team. And I think Bam, another guy who's gotten better every year of his career, I think he's still only, 25? I think he still has another leap to make, and I think that offensive leap that everyone is looking for is coming this year. So that's my number 7. Can you give me your number 7, Sharp?
I will give you my number 7 in a moment. I will just say that I pulled up Bam's game log. He did alternate double digits and single digits throughout the Eastern Conference Finals, and the games where he was single digits, he took like 5 shots, 6 shots. The other thing to remember about game 7 is how unbelievable that Celtics collapse would have been. It was one of the biggest choke jobs.
I would have texted Pino about it literally every single day for the rest of my life.
I was like, is this really happening? Like, this can't be real. It would have been the craziest thing I'd ever seen in sports.
That would have been better than any of the Heat's 3 championships. That would have been more satisfying.
So close. Yeah. So close.
Dude, when Jimmy took that shot, I don't even know how, like, there was no scale or instrument in the universe that could have measured my anxiety or heart rate when Jimmy pulled up for that shot.
Yeah, well, I was worried because it was like Jimmy had been having an out-of-body experience for most of that series, and once he pulled up, I was like, I don't know if he's got this in the bag, but I respect the audacity for Jimmy Butler, perfectly on brand. Yeah. My number 7 is Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. Whoa. Out there in Cleveland.
Wow, ahead of Jimmy and Bam, ahead of Katie and Kyrie. Wow.
Here's the thing, Ro. Here is the thing. This is not like, oh, fun young players. Like, I just think Darius Garland is an all-star caliber guard right now. He's a great distributor. He's a great shooter. He can play on or off the ball and put pressure on the defense. And I think Evan Mobley is going to come out and just, like, terrorize people defensively, offensively, as a distributor, as a wing defender for the Cavs. He's going to be all over the place. And so if anything, 7 might be too low for these two guys. Wow. I've been very high on Garland and Mobley their entire career. And I think this is the year it starts to get pretty real out there.
Wow. That's a good pick. They weren't even in my honorable mentions, which is tough because, I mean, I was thinking about Mitchell too. Mm-hmm. I think the Cavs are going to be really good.
And I do too.
Some people were like, what did you think of the trade? Because I thought it was a no-brainer home run. Very happy for that move.
So I've never been a huge Mitchell guy. And
you weren't high on him coming out of the draft?
I actually was high on him coming out of the draft, but one of the reasons I liked him coming out of the draft, honestly, is because I thought he would be a really good defender. Like, he has the tools to be a really good defender. And as soon as he became an above average scorer and like an all-star caliber offensive player, he just stopped caring on defense. And that kind of freaks me out when I'm projecting like who he's going to be throughout his prime. But if there was any team that was going to trade for him, I think trading for him when you already have three rock solid building blocks in place and not having to give up any of those guys is the best case scenario. And so it was a calculated risk that I think made a lot of sense for Cleveland, because it's not like they were going to bring in anybody else.
No, they had no chance of acquiring a talent like that. So no, I was all for it. All right, I'm going to give you my number six. It's LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
They are six on my list
also. There we go. There we go. You just, the rest of the roster is such a mess that you, it makes you forget just how good those two guys are.
Yes. And I don't know whether you find yourself trending this direction, but I can't fight the nagging thought in the back of my mind that maybe the Lakers aren't going to be a complete disaster this year and can be like a 45-win team.
But isn't
that
a disaster for a LeBron team?
It is, but that's how low the bar is after how terrible last season was. Like, they've just been such an incredible punchline for most of the LeBron tenure out there, really. Like, they had one incredible year, and then things have gone off the rails for one reason or another every other season. And the Westbrook deal, I thought when they did it, I was like, well, there goes LeBron's twilight. Yeah. They just lit that on fire. But AD is so good when he's healthy, and LeBron is so good when he's healthy, that if they can get like 65 games together, I look at them compared to a team like the Mavs. I don't necessarily think the Mavs are going to be like head and shoulders above the Lakers. Yeah. And so they are included as a legacy pick and out of respect for how great those two guys are when they're healthy.
You'd still want the two of them on any team. I hope they trade Russ, and I feel bad. He's such a scapegoat, and it's obviously he's not the only problem, but his presence is like a domino effect and creates all these other problems. I mean, this also doesn't excuse the fact that like Lonnie Walker was their mid-level signing. I've talked about this a million times now, but like get someone who like Bruce Brown or Otto Porter, who plays both offense and defense on the mid-level, you know. And it's just over and over again, they make weird signings, one-way guys, and it's like, literally all you need around LeBron and AD are 3-and-D players. That's it. Like, those two are enough. Like, just get competent 3-and-D guys around them. And every year, they fail to that. Even their title year, like, the reason that worked is because, like, everyone was, like, Rondo was shooting better than expected. AD especially was shooting better than expected. Like, they've never really built the right roster for those two guys.
Yeah, well, and the title year, they had the closest thing to what could be the right roster. It was like, let's win ugly. Yeah. We're going to grind people
Kuzma,
down.
KCP, yeah.
Yeah, and let LeBron and AD cook in the half court to put us over the top on offense. And that worked. And they just gutted the roster the following offseason.
And the thing
I think
is, the next year's team was also pretty good. And then it was a weird COVID year. And they were like, oh, well.
They totally overreacted.
Yeah, totally.
And I still can't believe how catastrophic the Westbrook decision was. And I think it was, honestly, the reason I don't feel bad is it was LeBron driving that decision. So it is what it is. I would say it's different than like the Bulls and Reinsdorf, like breaking up the Jordan Bulls. Like, this was LeBron had a hand in the demise out there.
It's one of the worst trades in NBA history is what it is. When you just consider like
hands down
who it ruined and all those things, it's rough. All right, my number five duo, we're headed to the Rockies. We got Joker and Murray at number five.
Okay.
I'm a believer in Murray. I think that this is a case where the extra time is going to help him. He's had plenty of time to recover. I think he's going to be ready to go. And, I mean, the Joker's Joker, man. He's going to get an incredible performance out of whoever he's playing with. Their pick and roll. I remember one time talking to Michael Malone about the Joker Murray pick and roll, and he like just the glee on his face when he talked about how successful it was incredible. Like, we were talking about that Utah series, and I was like, when you guys were running those, you know, Murray Joker pick and rolls against Utah, and Murray was setting the screens, and the smile on his face, he's like, yep. It was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen from an NBA coach. So just based on that one play alone, it's so fun to watch them play together. I had to put Joker and Murray at number five.
They play so well off each other, and I really hope Jamal Murray can come back at 100% because watching those two is just the best.
They might play better off of each other than any two players on this list, in my opinion. It's just...
Yeah. It's they're in Steph and Draymond territory, which is high, high praise. Are you a Bones Highland guy?
I'm a Bones Highland guy, but I'm not in on the Bones Highland hype. Like, people are like... taking it a step too far, and I feel like it's only going to hurt his career because it's going to be tough for him to defend in a playoff series. Also, I'm seeing things like Bones is like, you got to play me and Michael Porter Jr. together, and I'm like, you sure about that? Like, you sure this is the nugget you want to like kind of attach yourself to? Like, are we sure MPJ is going to be on that team this time next year?
He might have the worst contract in the entire NBA. And for me, he's definitely in the Ben Simmons category of like, would I like this team more if this guy just wasn't here?
I would like the team more if they traded him for Harrison Barnes.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. And it's not because of his weird YouTube conspiracy stuff or some of the stuff he gets into off the court. It's just like, I don't think he's ever going to be good on defense.
Agreed.
And at least with Jokic,
at least once a game, you can see the disdain on Jokic's face because of something Michael Porter Jr. did. At least once a night, just utter disgust.
Yeah, he's just so stiff, and I just don't think he's ever going to be useful on that end, and not a like glaring hole.
Yeah.
And I love what the Nuggets have done elsewhere on the roster. Very excited about KCP, Bruce Brown, even Christian Brown, their rookie. It's going to be pretty interesting to see what that team turns into, but it all comes down to health at the top of the roster for sure.
So give me your number five duo.
Number five... Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Wow. Okay.
Many would have them higher. I cannot shake how average the Celtics offense looked through the second half of the finals. And Jason Tatum, people have said he was exhausted because of the Olympics, and he may have had like a shoulder thing. It's hard to say what happened, but man, oh man, it got really bad. It feels like they left a title on the table. And who knows whether Jaylen Brown wants to be in Boston long term. They are definitely in the top five, and I wouldn't be mad at anybody who has them higher. But I think what made the Celtics special last season was the defense, and the defense was a function of Robert Williams and what he brought to the table midway through the year, Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Tatum and Jaylen, but they weren't necessarily like the straws stirring the drink defensively. So I'm not going to overreact to the finals run last year. I think they're both very, very good. Jaylen is an all-star. Tatum is a perennial all-NBA guy, but I don't know that like Tatum is an MVP candidate. So maybe he'll prove me wrong this year.
Has there been a more fraudulent in the analytics era defensive player of the year than Marcus Smart?
No, but I like that, honestly. I like that we're deviating from the numbers. In the analytics era, if you go by the numbers, it's every year. It's Rudy Gobert or some other big guy.
Like, I think Robert Williams was the best defender on that team. I'm not even going to get into it, really, but that was an insane pick. That was an insane
pick. Anybody who voted for Time Lord is cool with me.
That was a true Democratic People's Republic of Boston propaganda. I told Herring last week, who told me he voted for Sharp or for Smart. I was like, you were the victim of misinformation. That was a Russian Facebook op got Marcus Smart Defensive Player of the Year. Wow. Okay. So that's your number four or number five? That was your number five.
That's number five.
All right. Tell me your number four.
Number four, Joel Embiid. And we are ejecting James Harden from the duo and going with Tyrese Maxey.
At number four?
I'm sorry, man. Blown away by Maxey preseason highlights.
What is this? You're like, I don't want to overreact to the NBA playoffs, but NBA preseason highlights.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Tari Eason, future All-NBA guy down there in Houston. No, Maxey, he's fearless and he's gotten better each year. And if that continues this year, he's going to be an all-star, because 15 to 20% better than what he was a year ago is like a really, really good player. The question is, can he ever be average on defense? I don't know if he can get there, but if he can, he's just going to be a full-on superstar. And I love him as a pint-sized sidekick to Joel Embiid. This is more about how much I enjoy watching those two together than it is about them being better than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. If I'm a GM, I take Tatum and Jaylen, but as a fan, give me Maxey and Joel Embiid.
I mean, I love Maxey. I think he's already so much better than Tyler Hero, someone who I, for some reason, just continue to dump on this podcast. Maxey's right. Very good. A lot of people are already coming out with the take that Maxey's the second best player on the Sixers. I'm interested to see how that shakes out in the backcourt this year. Also, what it's going to be like if Embiid and, you know, PJ Tucker are good enough defensively to cover up for major Maxey and Harden minutes together in the playoffs is going to be interesting. But I like where your head is at, dude. Give me the pure hoopers, you know?
What I'm about, man.
You'd be great on the Ball Don't Stop podcast.
Oh, God. Sure. I'm willing to hop on whatever if that guy wants to have
it. Not all representation is good representation. I'll just leave it at that.
Wow. Okay. Ice cold from Ro. Who's your number four?
My number four is Giannis Antetokounmpo and Drew Holiday.
Ooh, yes. Interesting. Okay, make the case.
I mean, it's the Greek freak. We saw what him and Drew did together last year, taking the Celtics to 7 games, and they probably win if they have, like, the third best player on the team is not Bobby Portis. I mean, no shade to Bobby Portis, but like Brooke Lopez's creaky back. They have Portis. Wes Matthews, who played his ass off, but is also like in his mid-30s. Grayson Allen inexplicably still starting every game, even though he was terrible.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would rather have Drew than Middleton, even though Middleton is obviously very, very, very good. Just that sequence Drew had at the end of that game 5 when he blocks the shot. Yeah. He knocks the ball out of bounds on Smart and then strips him coming back down the floor. Their next possession. I was in the building when Drew made the steal on Devin Booker. I think is a iconic finals play. And throwing up the lob to Giannis. So it was tough to put them this low, frankly, because it's Giannis, but
yeah.
I'm a little bit worried about Drew. And Drew Holiday is going to make 8 shots no matter how many shots he takes. So he either go 8 of 16 or 8 of 26. But that worries me a little about them as a duo. But I mean, it's Giannis and Drew.
I remember too many 8 of 26 performances from Drew Holiday to elevate him to the number 2 on the Bucks. So I had Middleton and Giannis number 2 on my list.
Ooh, okay.
Because, first of all, it's a sentimental pick. If you go back to the Bucks title run, midway through the Hawks series, Giannis had an incredible answer about going to battle with Chris Middleton and growing up through the years and always staying connected through all sorts of different changes and setbacks. And it was just one of those press conferences where you're like, man, I love basketball. Like, this is awesome. And so I still look at those guys and look at everything they've been through, and I can't help but root for them. Giannis is obviously my favorite player in the world. And Middleton, during that Sun series, some of the shots he was hitting were just like out of this world.
Yeah, huge, big and time they daggers. Needed that. Big time daggers.
They needed that against Boston, and had he been healthy, I do think they probably get the win in that series, even though that's like the most popular take in basketball media. So I'm not exactly out on a limb, but I hope he comes back healthy. I think Giannis has to be on the list. So whether you choose Middleton or Drew, you're on solid ground because both those guys are great.
So who's your number 4?
Okay, so 4 was Maxey.
That's right. So okay, we're on number 3. We're on number 3. For the record, my number 3 is Tatum and Brown.
Okay. Solid.
Yeah. We saw what they just did. I think Tatum, unfortunately, is going to be an MVP candidate for years to come.
Unfortunately.
And I love Jaylen Brown. I love Jaylen Brown, but I do wonder how long they're going to stay together. All right, so who's your number three?
Number three, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
Ooh, still to come on my list.
Pick. Yeah, I just find myself really excited to watch those guys in LA this year. Mm-hmm. And I think they have to prove that they can stay healthy through an entire playoff run. But man, oh man, they are so much fun to watch in the regular season and even in the preseason. Like, they just annihilated the Wolves in the first half of their preseason game earlier this week. So I am just really excited about both those guys. And I think Paul George is pretty comfortable with his station in the NBA these days. Mm-hmm. And Kawhi is, like, aesthetically the closest thing we've had to Michael Jordan, mm-hmm, in terms of how brutally efficient he is from the mid post. And I love watching people play basketball that way. Yeah. And in a league where everybody is taking like 43s a game, watching Kawhi zag and be utterly dominant, is really satisfying as a basketball fan.
So that was your number three.
Yep.
Your number two is Giannis and Middleton.
Yes.
I have no idea who your number one is. My number two is Steph Curry and Draymond Green.
Okay.
And I just think at the end of the day, you put those two together on a basketball court, there's some kind of chemistry. It's the opposite of KD and Kyrie. It's, you put them on a court together and you're like, something magical is happening. We saw them thrive last year, even before Klay joined the team. And it's just that, you know, what Draymond's defense, his attitude, and that's what I've been like, you know, people are like, how could Draymond do this? His edge has been a key to their success. Like, they don't win if he doesn't have the attitude he has. It's not an excuse for him punching anyone, but an integral part of their success is Draymond being like, oh, I'm 6'7", but I can guard any center in the league and do a great, mm-hmm, job. I mean, I don't think I've seen any defender individually do a better job on Jokic than Draymond did. And he doesn't have the physical tools necessarily to do that. So their pick and roll remains one of the deadliest actions in basketball history. Yeah, I think if I wanted to win a championship right now, I'd have a harder time thinking of two people I'd rather have than Steph and Dre, just because the track record is there.
Yeah, it's a good take. Mm-hmm. And speaking again as a basketball fan, it's just so much fun watching those guys, mm-hmm, play off each other. Draymond always knows where Steph is going to be. And it's like, you know, beautiful music watching, yeah, them on offense.
It's like,
and
watching, it sounds, it's like watching Dave Matthews Band jam on two-step.
You know? I don't know about that. Can't get there with Dave. But it is the type of thing that I'm going to like lecture my kids about, yes, one day, yes, where it's like, go on YouTube and watch 10 minutes of Draymond and Steph highlights. That's how you play offense. It's this ISO bullshit, step back threes, like whatever. Draymond and Steph did it right. I can't wait to be that guy. And with Steph, he's the best show in basketball. And, mm-hmm, I hope that Draymond does come back, mm-hmm, and play at an above average level and stay healthy. The health is as big of a worry as the chemistry, yeah, on Draymond's side, because you're right that at 6'8", he's been like guarding centers and doing it really effectively for the better part of the last 10 years. And that does take a toll on his
body. It's a shame because he's had to kind of, in many ways, endure the most physically to make that team go. And he might pay the price because of the contract thing. And they'll be like, hey, you're not the same player you used to be, which is, you know, that's the nature of sports. But yeah, I hope they never break up either, to be honest. I know that some people are saying it might be his last year and he wants to play for the Lakers, blah, blah, blah. I hope they never break up. I love when teams stay together. They've been awesome this entire run. And, you know, I'd love to see them play Kawhi and PG in the playoffs. I'd love to see them play Giannis in the playoffs. Like, there's more duos I need to see them go up against. I'm going to give my number one only because I have no idea who your number one is, unless I'm just missing someone obvious here. But my number one was Kawhi and PG. Okay. I love what I saw from Paul George two playoffs ago when Kawhi went out. Last year, obviously, PG's dealing with the injury. Then he has COVID late in the year. Kawhi's out. I mean, we've seen Kawhi miss a year and then come back and win finals MVP. So I'm not worried about him. I just think that the two of them, what they can do on paper on both ends of the floor. And I think Paul George is like weirdly going to be historically underrated. But
yeah,
I mean, I think he finished 11th in our top 100 this year. Like physical tools, like shooting, defense, it's like he has everything. He really does have everything handled. So, yeah, you know, there were some rumors, oh, maybe they would even trade him. Like, I thought that was crazy. And then Kawhi's Kawhi, man. You mentioned he's like the original, I think I wrote in the top 100, the original two-way efficiency cyborg. The mid-range is just, it's not only the mid-range, but like, I think he shoots like 40% from three, like on pull-ups and not easy shots. Like, yeah, man, he's unbelievable.
Not enough is made of how dominant Kawhi was down the stretch in that Mavs series, because what he was doing defensively and offensively, it was like weapon of mass destruction stuff.
Yeah.
And the Clippers should have lost that series. Like the rest of the team wasn't playing well, and Kawhi just took over down the stretch. It was something to behold. And the other thing that people forget is if he hadn't gotten injured against the Jazz, Clippers probably beat the Suns, honestly, and could have won the title that year. Yeah. So as much as people look at the Clippers and say, oh man, like they've never lived up to the hype, like they were pretty close to living up to the hype. So my only question for the Clippers is, are you going to become like a full-on Clippers homer now that you're in LA? I see you in the Dodgers hat. I think it's a good time to zag in the city of Lakers zombies. Be a Clippers guy.
I don't think that'll ever happen, but I do think if I had to pick one team whose games I'm going to go to more this year, it's going to be the Clippers.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Probably like 20% of the media at the Clippers.
Exactly, and
More room to do your job. I think that's
way
smart.
Way more terrible in-arena entertainment, though, I got to say. It's like a circus during every timeout. It's ridiculous. Like, that's one thing the Lakers get right.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to ping Lee Jenkins and get him on the case. Let's
I really should. I really
atmosphere.
Should hit up Lee and be like, listen, man, let me run the in-arena ops. This is a joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
My number one, which did not make your list at all, Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram.
Wow. He did
down
it.
There in the bayou.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
I want everyone out there, part of the Open Floor Globe. If you're part of the Open Floor Globe, come be a GOAT as well. I want to prepare everybody for a 55-win Pelican season where Zion and Ingram are both all NBA and just take the league by storm. It's the best story in basketball through the regular season. I don't think they defend at a high enough level to actually contend for a championship. But save that, I think that like the sky is the limit. Like conference finals, like I think this team can really do some things, and this is dangerous. But like this is the last year we can buy all the way in on Zion. Like if it doesn't work this year, it's officially not a coincidence. He's got a lot of the injury issues that we worry about with Embiid. Like, but I right now there's a chance that like he's ready to turn the corner and just turn into a destroyer of worlds again. And Ingram, he's been my guy for years now, and he's in the Booker category where like he gets 15-20% better with each passing year. And he was great in the playoffs. Very excited about the possibilities for my Pelicans.
Well, I know you've actually been like Brandon Ingram hive. You're like his entire career.
Oh, yeah.
And you've always wanted him to be better than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And as a hater, I respect that. Like, I really respect that. As a hater of all things DPRB, I think that that's a beautiful sentiment that you have. This is
Listen, man. Can I tell you one thing about the Celtics? If they had Brandon Ingram instead of Jason Tatum, they would not have been clueless at how to solve the Warriors' half-court defense.
Okay, that is a hot take. That
four,
is a
five, and six.
Absolutely hot take.
Look, Just putting it out there. Ingram's not the same defender, but he's a more skilled offensive player in the half court. But, you know, it's fine. People will see eventually. I suggest everybody follow one of my favorite Twitter accounts, at Ingram Alerts. It gives you his stat lines, noteworthy social media moments, all the Ingram you could ever need.
That is, wow. That is, you. Not only did you put them number one, then you double down with that take. I'm blown away right now, even as like the number one like Celtics truther, like trying to shine a light on the propaganda that we see in the NBA media. That is a take I was not ready for. I mean, listen, thank you for the timing. You know, Zion Williamson on the cover of the most recent issue of Sports Illustrated. Pick it up on newsstands. Check out the story written by Howard Beck. I mean, I think Zion and Ingram are going to be fantastic. I think the Pelicans are going to be fantastic. But, wow. I mean, I want to see them play one playoff minute together maybe before I'm ready to put them at number one.
Yeah.
I love the heat coming off this, dude. I don't know if this is just because you're in a different podcast playground than you're usually in, and you feel like you can, it's like a little Beverly Hills Cop. You're like,
Bro, I am exploring the space today. All right. You gave me an ambiguous assignment, and I took advantage of the room to sort of draw outside the lines here. And Zion and Ingram, they score 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100 in my what I'm excited about next season category. And so that gave them the edge over like literal NBA champions
Kawhi. I'll give you my Pelicans take because I think they definitely finish higher than the Timberwolves in the Western Conference standings. And I feel bad because we get a lot of Timberwolves emails. Shout out to our, you know, fans from Minnesota, of Minnesota. But I think that Zion coming back means so much more to me than Gobert joining the Wolves. That I think the Pelicans, I wouldn't be shocked if they somehow snuck into a home court spot. Like, because if Zion stays healthy, they're going to care about the regular season. Willie Green seems like the coolest coach in the NBA. Wow. If I had to put you on the spot right now, when does the Pelicans season end this year?
Wow, you are putting me on the spot. I want to say conference finals.
Wow.
It's really hard to elevate them beyond the Clippers and Warriors. So I don't know though. I mean, do the Warriors, are we sure they finish top three? I think the Clippers are going to have the best record in the West.
I think the Nuggets are going to have the best record in the West.
Mm,
Jokic doesn't miss games.
It's true. Yeah, and if Murray is healthy all year, they're going to have as good a shot as anybody. I will say, conservatively, second round for the Pelicans. Winning a first round series would be a success for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
no,
and
shame.
I love the
round.
Supporting cast. Trey Murphy, a young guy to keep an eye on, just bombing threes out there.
Herb Jones.
Oh my God, let's walk through
squad,
all the Pels
dude.
Propaganda.
They have a squad, dude. Do we need to do a thing where, like, the first month of the playoffs, you and I are just renting a house together in New Orleans?
I mean, just, talk to Sports Illustrated.
Bro, what do you got multiple podcast money. What
it's
are you
true.
Talking about? You got the Stratechery bag. You got the goat
oh,
bag.
Oh, man.
Listen,
yeah.
You guys just sell some more t-shirts and we're good, dude. Rent can't be that expensive there.
Listen, I'll start setting money aside. And I'm sure, yeah, you're right, that renting a place outside of New Orleans or even inside the city can't be that expensive. So let's book it. Mid-April to mid-May, you and I in New Orleans hitting
dude,
the town together.
Just
we could do some like food blogging also.
Walk into Cafe Dumont every morning. Bring Alice. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, it can be a family thing. It doesn't have to be just us. I think there's a 100%. Lot of potential in this idea.
Alice said to say hi to Rohan.
There we
go. This podcast, so.
Heck yeah. We absolutely love to see it. All right, Sharp. Yeah, you did not disappoint. I was like, who would bring the most heat on this list? You left off Chris Paul and Devin Booker, put Zion and Ingram at number one.
Number one.
I'm very impressed. I'm very, very impressed.
Well, it's always fun to see you. It's always fun to reconnect with the Open Floor Globe. And everybody, subscribe to The GOAT and Sharp Tech. Sharp Tech, half our episodes are free and open to the public. So you can go to my Twitter and there's information on how to subscribe or just find us on iTunes and enjoy the free shows. So we're going to have fun this year, and the NBA season starts in 6 days. So yeah, it's getting real pretty quick. I'm psyched.
It will be, yeah, it's going to be shocking. I can't wait for that first night of Inside the NBA. That's always what really does it for me. You know, Chuck's going to have all kinds of takes on what's happened this summer.
It's going to be great.
Sometimes to get myself hyped for the NBA season, I watch like a 30-minute video. And it's like an Inside the NBA compilation. And it's like Charles Barkley roasting everybody.
All right. Well, I'm going to need you to send me that video.
I absolutely will. Well, until then, that will do it for today's episode of Open Floor. Once again, our huge thanks to Andrew Sharp. He's right. You should go subscribe to his podcast. That's The Greatest of All Talk, the GOAT podcast with our old friend Ben Golliver, as well as Sharp Tech. Please keep your emails coming, openfloormail@gmail.com. We have another very special guest later this week that you guys are going to be very excited for. Until then, enjoy the NBA offseason, what little we have left.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.